Hello, Stitchers. Welcome to Stitch Please, the official podcast of Black Women Stitch, the sewing group where Black Lives Matter. I'm your host, Lisa Woolfork. I'm a fourth-generation sewing enthusiast with more than 20 years of sewing experience. I am looking forward to today's conversation, so sit back, relax, and get ready to get your stitch together.
Hey, friends. Hey, it's Lisa from Black Women Stitch and the Stitch Please podcast, and I am coming to you from Charlottesville, Virginia. And as I say every week, this is a very special episode because this episode is one of those, like, where are they now episodes. A few years ago, I talked with Janelle Dawkins as she was taking over the executive directorship of Scraplanta. Scraplanta is a creative reuse center in Atlanta, Georgia. And when I talked to Janelle at first, she was just getting started and getting her legs under her as an executive director. And she has been in that role for quite some time now. And so now we get to talk to her about what does it mean to see the growth of you as an executive, as a creative, as an artist who's also running a business in order to support other artists and to keep our planet from turning into total garbage. So thank you very much. We've got Ms. Janelle Dawkins back with us again. Welcome, Janelle. Welcome back to the Stitch Please podcast.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. I am so excited to be here just to talk about Scraplanta's journey.
I am too. I really am. Now, you created the name as kind of a hybrid of Scrap and Atlanta. What happens in your imagination when you put together Scrap and Atlanta to make Scraplanta? Tell us about what those two components are and how we get to this amazing creative space that you're now managing for us. What happens when we bring together Scrap and Atlanta?
So the interesting thing is that I didn't come up with the name. And I look at Scraplanta as like my stepchild that I adopted. Yes. As like a toddlerish. So, yes. You know, when you adopt a toddler, there's still some molding that you can do on, you know,
yes.
With Scraplanta. I had a lot of fun with just adding my own spin to it. Our charter members and founders were more elementary school teachers. So they catered towards like young moms who like to create and toddlers. But I'm like, I think Scraplanta means something differently to me. I really look at it as like the scraps of Atlanta coming together to make artwork, to make film productions and fashion lines. Like I call our base the Scrap ATLians because it really shows how creative our community is, where they just come together with, you know, their scrap of yarn and their scrap of ribbon, and they're making these beautiful found art pieces and just redefining what art is. And I think that's so important to Atlanta's creative culture in general.
Yes, absolutely. Like Atlanta being the place that gave us Outkast, that gave us an entire genre of music. You know, the fact that there's a trap museum in Atlanta that you can go. I did not get a chance to go. It's on my list again when I ever have a time longer than a weekend. But Atlanta has absolutely contributed a major element of cultural work, from music to painting to quilting to all of that that circulates around Black freedom, Black civil rights, you know, all of that being kind of that second wave to third wave of civil rights movement coming out of Atlanta, mm-hmm. The Atlanta University Center, like with all the HBCUs right there. There is so much fruitful, bubbling, buzzing creativity in Atlanta. So when you think about scraps, you don't think about these as leftovers. There's so many ways to think about scraps or scrap. You know, I think about the word scrappy, you mm-hmm. know, like you're a scrappy little fighter, you know, like you have a lot of good vibe and a good energy. What does scrap mean to you? How do you turn that which some would discard into art that is really expressing something and bringing something to the people?
You know, it makes me think of one of my favorite stories that I read growing up, Stone Soup.
Stone Soup.
Everyone had something that they brought to the table. Someone had carrots, someone had tomatoes, someone had stones. And they all came together and put in this big pot. And then people took what they could from it. They wanted a big bowl of soup or a little bowl. And that's how I felt with Scraplanta, where people bring like you know, their fabric collection from when they started 10 years ago versus things they've collected over time from trips to Japan. That comes to the store, and then people just take out their cosplays from it, or they take out ways to like redecorate their gardens with containers and things like that. So I think scrap is just us giving a little piece of our heart to build like a bigger part of our community.
Yes, that is so wonderful. That is such a great answer. And so one of the things that you said that you did is that you were able to mold Scraplana because it was transferred over from the charter members and the first executive director. You took on this wonderful, new, exciting project. What kind of things did you do in your time as an executive director to make it speak to your vision of what Scraplanta should be?
What we did was right before I started, they had found a location in Tucker.
Now tell me about Tucker. What is Tucker?
Tucker, Georgia is, I guess it's considered a northeast suburb of Atlanta.
Okay.
At one point we were in the Atlanta city limits and then we got annexed by the city of Tucker. But it's a small town, has a small town feel. And
yes.
It also has a lot of shopping. And so we had this location, the shopping mall, and everything was a go. And then COVID happened and everything just stopped. And so when I came back, when I was invited to be the director, I was familiar with the area because I actually like grew up in DeKalb County. So I was like, okay, I know of this area. And I also know how expensive retail was. So I was like, okay, we can get this spot. Let's do it. And this place used to be an H&R Block 20 years ago.
It was an insurance company. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, this is exciting. Yeah. We will turn your insurance office into a creative oasis.
And we just totally stuffed it to the brim with fabric and paper and just all these great things. I don't think the people from H&R Block wouldn't recognize the place now because we painted it. It's bright and fun colors. And what I wanted to do was launch our community art workshops. Originally, our founders really wanted us to do summer camps. And I was just like, the liability of children running around is a lot. But if you have, you know, 3 or 4 hour workshops, and they're not just geared towards children. We gear them towards adults and college kids, senior citizens. Like, more people want to create than children. And I love children, and we still have programs for them.
Yes.
But I'm like, let's make this bigger. Let's see what we can do with the adult population. And I also was thinking, you know, this store is great, but Atlanta needs more creative reuse, like around the perimeter, inside the perimeter, outside.
So yes.
I was like, let's think about more that we can do with this.
Now, what were some of the things you found as you were stuffing the new space with fabric and paper? What kind of changes did you need to make to create elements that adults and teens and seniors could use that you might not need just for children? Like, there's certain type of things that you had to do to say, okay, well, when we have our toddler story hour, we have these things, but you know, a 17-year-old is not going to want to sit on a cute rug. Like, no, that's not going to be, that's not going to get the young people to our side. What kind of things did you do to kind of reach these different populations?
I really think we use social media as a tool to engage older audiences because, you know, we're not on the 5-year-old side of TikTok, and I really hope there's not that side, but we were making TikToks and Instagram videos. So we were reaching millennials, Gen Z, and also the things that we put in our store. Like, we have a progress flag to show that we are an inclusive environment, and we made it from scraps, of course, because it's like, why not buy
a flag when you can make one?
And so we just showed people, like, you know, this isn't a cute little store, this is like a community center, this is a third space. And we used Eventbrite to post our events and our classes, and you know, we're telling people it is sliding scale. So, you know, just bring what you can and we'll show you how to do this skill.
Oh, that's wonderful. You use the phrase third space. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
So this is an issue that is prominent in a lot of cities where people just don't have the space to just be outside of work, outside of bars, outside of restaurants. Like, they sometimes we have libraries, but sometimes those can be inaccessible to the community. With Scraplanta, we want to be a third space for people to come together and make art. And so with our classes, it's a great space for people to be in because they don't have to worry about somebody like constantly trying to sell them something. They don't have to drink. They don't have to smoke to be here. They're just making some art, making new friends, and being in community.
That is such an important phrasing. I'm so glad you were able to follow up on that, because in the same way that it can be difficult to make friends as an adult, because the things that we did when we were kids, our parents took us places. So you went to school and that's where the friends were. Or if you were someone who was religious, you went to temple or mosque or synagogue and that's where you saw your friends. But as an adult, nobody's making you go anywhere but to work, and you might not even like them people.
Yeah.
So honestly, and so to have this third space is really beautiful. Now, can you talk about some of the programs that you have offered in this current space during the time of your directorship? So you've talked about how you've shifted from a mommy and me type vibe, or for young moms who, you know, require additional stimulus or want to support their own children's learning or whatever, to something that's like, hey, you're a cool 19-year-old who really likes to upcycle. You can have a good time over here. What kind of programs and classes and, you know, what kind of things are you offering?
So our classes are led by the community. We have a newsletter list of people who I just reach out to about every month or so. And I'm like, hey, people said that they want to make pumpkins, or they want to do this cool thing like crochet. And someone's like, oh, I can teach crochet. And they'll sign up to teach. And in return, we give them store credit and the opportunity to rent out our classroom later. So, you know, if you teach three classes, then you have 3 hours to rent out our classroom for your own paid course. And you also already have the 3 hours of experience because you've taught this three times. Wow. So it's been great to see what people want to teach. And like, we try and be responsive to what the community needs. So we have some people who do teach like mommy and me toddler classes. We've had people who have taught like painting beyond the brush, where you don't use a brush, you use things like sponges and even like wheels from toy cars. We have a sewing circle, collage. People really love to do collage. And we've even had art therapists come in and have like guided art sessions so people can like heal through their artwork.
This is so beautiful. It sounds like this is what community looks like.
Yeah.
It looks like coming together into a third space and people using it for a variety of reasons. I especially like the way that you have your instructors that they can use the space for their own learning, their own teaching, their own programs. That just feels like extending the reach of that space as well, you know, to be a learning and teaching space and a thriving space for everybody involved. I'm so excited about the Paint Beyond the Brush class. Like, toy cars? Like, you just roll the toy cars through some paint and then you roll it on the...
I actually have my painting from the class. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you need to make sure that you see that this is like the red. It's what we did with the tire.
What?
Yep.
Y'all should... this is so cool. I never would have thought that was a toy car.
Yep.
I would not have thought a toy car did that. I just would not have thought that. And now I have learned something from you yet again. Now, how long have you been in this current space? So pandemic came and it was like awful, but now things are stabilizing, would you say?
Yeah. So let's see. When I started as director, it was November 2021. And we just reached back out to the leasing agent like, hey, is the space still available? They were like, what space? And we were like, the space in the shopping plaza. And so they said, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. And so,
oh my gosh.
You know, that was a warning sign because we signed the lease in February of 2022. And we didn't even get a chance to open until October 2022 because of the permits, because, you know, we had to tell Google that we existed, tell the city that we existed. Like, so much had to be done.
So from February to October.
Yes.
That is about 8 months that you had the space. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure y'all are paying rent all this time.
Luckily, we didn't have to pay rent because
we
went to our landlord and they were like, this place isn't rentable. You took out our electricity. Like, you you took out our floorboards. Like, hold on. But we
wait a second. No wonder he was like, oh, what? That? Sure, you can have that big hole in the middle of a shopping center. They ain't got no lights, no floors, no walls. But yeah, we will charge you an inordinate amount of money for that. sure, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
But for me, it was a great time because I pretty much spent the first year of my job marketing and telling people about Scott Glenn and raising money and telling the story because
yes,
we had some people who knew about us from the before times, but a lot of people, they're like, an art supply thrift store? What's that? Like, why are you guys going to do that? So I spent a lot of time going to markets and really building the story. But then when we opened the space, I feel like things changed completely for me because I got to see just exactly what we were creating with the community.
Wow.
And it was so joyful and wonderful. And I was like, yeah, this could be something that is all over Atlanta.
Yes. Hey, friends. Hey, I know you're enjoying the audio version of Stitch Please, and thanks so much for listening. But you're missing out on all the great stuff going on behind the scenes. That's why I'm inviting you to join our Black Women Stitch Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can see all the video versions of the podcast. Plus, you get some amazing swatch cards. You know how much I love these swatch cards. Look, look, see how cool these are? Oh wait, you can't see them because you are not yet on the Patreon. So when you join the Patreon, you'll be able to see this, me showing you these amazing cards. We also have some great perks at the other tiers, like discounts, swag, office hours, and more. Don't be the last sewist in the group now. Head over to patreon.com/blackwomenstitch or click the link in the show notes and become a Patreon supporter today. We truly cannot do this without you. So thank you so much.
And
should be. I'm just so delighted that after 8 months of construction and permits and applications, I mean, what were you doing during that intervening time? You said that you were going to fairs and you were promoting, but you also had to be like paying people to paint or put shelves around or put a floor in there. Like what?
Well, see, our community is so great. I put out a call to volunteers. I said, hey, we got this space. We need it to be painted. We need these shelves to be built. And it was amazing to see so many people come out and paint. And like we had a, for almost a decade, we had like a storage unit full of art supplies. And our community came out, they packed up that storage unit, they moved it to the new space. We weren't able to open for business, but we were able to like sort donations in the space and still like get things together. So we had volunteers who would come in and they would sort. And there are people who've been volunteering with me since the beginning. So they remember like we didn't have electricity in the space. We didn't have AC.
Wow.
And we were just sorting with lamps and flashlights and just waiting until, you know, we finally got the permit and the electricity and all that. So it was great that the community has been so great about just showing up and painting, spending their Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend. They even put in our floors. Like, we got flooring donated.
Wow.
And I was looking like, okay, I painted this building, but I can't put any floors down. And people are like, okay, that's fine. So they had their saws, and they were clicking and locking those laminate floors.
Wow. Yep. Oh, my. And to see that, do you have any video of that? Do you have any images of that?
Yes.
I'm so, please share some because I want to include some of these in some of the promos for the episode because this is what, again, community can do,
mm-hmm.
right? That is what this is meant to do. This is why you work in community and don't feel like you have to do everything by yourself.
Yes.
You know, so rather than having to pay tens of thousands of dollars to have a commercial floor laid in your space, someone donated that and it's amazing and beautiful and fantastic. It's very much like Scraplanta is the creative reuse center that love built.
Yes.
It seems very much that it was built and fueled by love. Now talk about, you've been doing this for quite some time and now you've reached a kind of a growth point. Can you talk about what some of the future developments are and what we can expect from Scrap Atlanta in the coming years?
Yes. So
or months, not even coming years. I'm thinking future.
Yet.
I'm thinking future, like way far out. But Janelle's like, oh no, ma'am. This is gonna be next quarter. This quarter.
The very end, yes. And
wow.
Well, my vision was for us to always have multiple locations. And when I first started, the founders were like, okay. Okay. And so now that we've grown and got a momentum, like it's so much bigger than what we thought it would be.
Yes.
Everyone's like, okay, yeah, we do need a second location because we are a destination. Like we've had people come from Alabama and Italy to come to us.
Wow. I love that so much. Alabama to Italy.
Yes.
Planes and trains and automobiles to get to y'all.
And we're like, well, we also recognize the need to serve more communities across Atlanta. We collected zip code data to see, you know, where we're getting our donations from and where we aren't getting donations from. And then the question is, why not? We looked at a map of Atlanta and, you know, it's surrounded by 285 and in the middle is I-20. And south of I-20, there are no art supply stores. None.
Wow.
And I was shook because I was like, there's an entire set of HBCUs down there that need affordable art supplies.
Yes.
There are quilting guilds that are south of I-20. Like,
yes,
there's nothing between, you know, I guess Midtown and then Fayetteville, which is like outside the perimeter. And so I'm like, well, we need to be there because this is the opportunity for people to not only get affordable art supplies, but also de-stash our materials. Because, you know, we accumulate some things that we don't need.
We do.
You know, maybe a science fair project. Maybe, you know, we had some leftover scraps from a cosplay. So it's like, let's put it back in the community and let's keep making art with it and give it an opportunity for people to just keep using this. And we have an opportunity to move into a space. It'll be like a very long-term temporary pop-up. But right now we're just trying to like build that story and like raise for startup cost of getting in that space because we realize there's some things we need like scales, you know, to weigh our donations because so far we've taken in 100,000 pounds of materials.
Wow. Well, y'all broke the first scale you had. So you really need another one after you've weighed 100,000 pounds on a scale. I think the scale is like, I'd like to retire, please.
And we have a manual scale that we have to like get the block if it's over 100 pounds and then like move the piece to
At the doctor's office was like tick, 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 tick. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, I hope you all, do you have a list of, you said that there's a list of things that you need. Are you building a wish list for this new space and the way that people can help by contributing to buying certain items that you need for the shop or what? How are you helping to get those needs met?
Right now, we just have a fundraising campaign. It doesn't have the itemized list, but I do know people, they do like lists. And, you know, if someone wants to buy us a $400 scale and get it named after them, I will gladly get on my Cricut and cut out their name and squeegee it on the weight.
Yes, this will be your scale. This will be the whoever donates the money for this creative reuse scale.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, okay. So you are accepting donations of money, of supplies. Are you, because you are in a strict fundraising state for the new space.
Yes. So we have a couple of options for the new space because of where it's at. And we're trying to figure out how do we build it in a way that's more responsive to the community. So I've been having some listening tours with leaders in Southwest Atlanta and seeing like, you know, do they need a store that has a chaos corner for children? So instead of them destroying the entire
store, do they just destroy one corner?
And also like with our classes, like what type of space do we need? We're even trying to seek some sponsorships from some craft suppliers because, you know, if you have the opportunity to show people like this is, you know, your brand of sewing machine, then they're going to in turn buy it once they've, you know, played around a little bit. Because we are a stepping stone for people's art practices. We aren't just the end of their art journey. We're a place for them to get the affordable supplies and skills so then they can decide whether or not they want to invest $300 in this skill. And hopefully, you know, they do. And they, yes. you know, also achieve financial independence by making a business out of it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And if there's sewing machine companies or sewing machine dealers who are in your region and they're able to say, hey, you know, we can give y'all a permanent loan of 10 entry-level machines, et cetera, et cetera. You know, as also y'all are a nonprofit. Is that right? Are you a nonprofit?
Yes, we are 501c3 nonprofit.
And so that's another thing that can be considered as write-offs as well. So even if they don't want to do it because they should, they could do it because it'll save them some money.
Yeah.
So there's lots of reasons to donate and support charitable causes. If you want to be a do-gooder and have your heart feel good, yay. Or if you want to be a do-gooder that gets some break on your income taxes, yay for that as well. Now, I wanted to ask the question that I ask about just before we wrap up. Can you talk about why creative reuse is so important for an art practice? Why do you believe it is necessary for artists, people who are creating with either sculptures or paint or with fabric and textiles, people who are sewing and knitting and crocheting and embroidering? Why is creative reuse an important part of a creative ecosystem?
That is a very good question.
I know. I be asking good questions, girl. I'm a pretty good interviewer.
It's two parts to it. Like the personal aspect, where once you challenge yourself to really think beyond the function that somebody told you something is, then you're able to really be experimental with your art, be very innovative. That's where the next step comes from, is being able to just look beyond. Like, someone told me this was a paint can, but you know what? You can also plant something in here. And then you just keep growing and growing from that. And it's also a communal part to it. You know, I know as an artist, as someone who really likes fabric, sometimes it's hard for me to let go. But there have been some times where I've donated something and somebody swooped it up, like, as soon as I put it on the sales floor. And the joy that they experienced, where they're like, I've been looking for this. And I was like, it's been in my closet for 2 years.
Like, sorry, girl, I had it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes people will get something, and I am just bright red. Because I'm like, if you knew... How long I've had that?
It's like, oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I decided to free that and release it to somebody else to use. But it does allow us to think about the principle of exchange.
Yes.
Right. And the idea of exchanging. So, you know, the idea of energy and the creative flow. And I definitely sometimes feel a big lift when I donate a bunch of stuff. When I'm like, okay, I've had this forever. I love it. I don't think I'm going to do anything with it. This needs to go on to have better use elsewhere. And the idea that you get to see in store people picking up stuff that you loved too.
Yes.
You know, and giving it a home elsewhere, extending the life of these things.
Yeah.
It really is such a beautiful energy exchange. I just love that.
Yes. I see so many educational moments happening in the store, where someone will have a question and five different people will answer it five different ways. And everyone is so eager to help. They're like, oh, you want to do something with corks? Well, I made a person with corks. I made a wall with it. Like, and it's like, all of this is happening in this tiny space. And it's so great to see that just community aspect of it.
I do love that. And I think that that is a really important thing, that everybody, because they are contributing materials or there to look through materials that have been donated by someone else, it's not so much what can I get? I, me. Something about that perspective shifts, I think, when you're shopping at a creative reuse center. I think, at least from my perspective, I always, when I step into those places, I step in with curiosity. Mm-hmm. Right? Or discovery. Like, I really do not know what I'm going to find. You know, I just don't. And that is part of the journey as well. We have a creative use center here in Charlottesville, and I found these really amazing pinking shears from a brand I had never seen before. And I have never seen a pair of scissors that looks like this. Yeah. And I was like, these are now mine. so I can go do the research and figure out what these are. But I remember showing them to everybody in the store, like, did you see this? Oh my gosh, why are the blades shaped that way? And we're just talking, I don't know these people, they don't know me, but we are all marveling at this pair of pinking shears that someone donated. And I can only imagine the person who might have donated them, if they were there to say, y'all bugging about these scissors? You know? Because we were totally bugging about these scissors. Janelle Dawkins, I'm going to ask you the question that we ask everybody as we close the Stitch Please podcast episode. The slogan of the Stitch Please podcast is that we will help you get your stitch together. Janelle Dawkins, executive director of Scraplana, one location and a second one on the way in the very quarter of this very year of 2024. What advice would you give to us to help us get our stitch together?
I would just say, do not be afraid to just immerse yourself in the experience of creating art and just rethink everything. Color block, paint on something, embroider. Like, don't just let that fabric tell you what you're making. You tell the fabric what you're making.
You tell the fabric what you're making. And on that note, how can we support you? How can we find you? How can we support Scraplana?
So we are on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, so you can follow our story. You can also support us both material and monetary wise. You can bring in a bag or a box of art supplies during our retail hours. And then you can also help us raise money for our second location. We have a Zephy page, which is a fundraising platform with zero fees for you and me. And then we also have Venmo, PayPal. You can send us a check in the mail if you like. And all those details will be in the show notes.
We absolutely put them in there. Now, do you accept donations by mail?
Not officially, but people have mailed us things. Like, one woman mailed us one machine foot from Mississippi.
Wow.
Yes. So, I mean, we'll take it if we're there to receive it in the mail.
Well, now there you go. Every bit helps. And who knows, is that machine foot still sitting there?
No.
See, there you go. If people have sizable donations by mail, would you prefer them to contact you rather than sending you a gigantic box of one sewing machine foot or 97 pounds of fabric?
I would say please contact us. And we also, since we're promoting the circular economy, there might be a Creative Reuse Center near you that you can like walk it into versus like, you know, paying for the shipping of mailing us this wonderful, you know, metal frame industrial machine.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. I love that. So circular economy, but absolutely send some checks over this way. For sure. For sure. Yes. Janelle Dawkins, this has been a delight as ever. Thank you so much for speaking with me today on the Stitch Please podcast. And I wish you best success with the second location of Scraplana.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
You've been listening to Stitch Please, the official podcast of Black Women Stitch, the sewing group where Black Lives Matter. We appreciate you joining us this week and every week for stories that center Black women, girls, and femmes in sewing. We invite you to join the Black Women Stitch Patreon community with giving levels beginning at $5 a month. Your contributions help us bring the Stitch Please podcast to you every week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. And come back next week and we'll help you get your stitch together.